Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. We are, again, it seems like, John, we've been here so many times in the last couple of weeks. We're in the middle of one of Paul's trials.
This has seemed rather lengthy because it has been lengthy in Acts, as we know, several chapters now. It is interesting to me that the Holy Spirit had Luke put down so many details about this whole experience in Paul's life.
One day, being arrested in the temple on a trumped up charge has now turned into 2 years. And all of Paul's life seems to be revolving around one event. Isn't it interesting how one event in our life can change the trajectory of the rest of our life? This one false accusation.
You know, I think, Pastor, in our life today, applying what you talk about, how that one event, one health event, one financial event, one relationship event, how one event can so much affect the rest of our lives, as you mentioned. Indeed, we all are familiar with that and have seen that happen in our lives.
So Paul has just given a very succinct defense at this new trial that Festus has afforded the Jews in Caesarea. And let's see Festus, who is now sitting on the judgment seat, let's see his response to the accusation. Remember, they're making these complaints, and you have all these eyewitnesses, alleged eyewitnesses, and all this testimony. And Paul just gives this very brief defense for himself. What is the response of Festus? Look at verse 9, Acts 25 and verse 9. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, "Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me?" So, kind of a catch 22 here. So Paul offers his defense, and Festus, ever the politician, is thinking, well, you know, Paul, would you be willing to say what you just said? Would you be willing to repeat this trial in Jerusalem? And the point wasn't that he was going to receive added information in Jerusalem. The point was that this would give brownie points to Festus among the Jews whom he was now leading.
You know, that is an important thing to remember for all of us. And we deal with people, other people, sometimes even leaders, truth is not their main concern. Sometimes their main concern is, how can I please people in this process? And so God wants us to be, you know, wise as serpents as we deal with people and understand, you know, that people don't always want to know truth necessarily, although they may, but they may have broader reasons for doing what they're doing. We ought to just be wise about that.
When the political issues drive a judge, that judge can no longer be partial. So you see a dangerous trend even in our country right now with, for instance, the vetting and approval of a Supreme Court justice. And the questioning, and there ought to be questioning, it ought to be strong questioning, but the questioning should be based upon a judge's fidelity to the Constitution and his or her consistency in the application of the Constitution to the various cases that are set before him or her. But increasingly, those aren't the questions and those aren't the concerns. The questions and concerns revolve around a person's political ideology.
It is sad that so much decision-making sometimes revolves around power, around politics. And it reminds me of my life to make sure that, you know, when I am doing what God's called me to do, or when you listeners do what God's called you to do, that we base things upon truth and not just, okay, how can I twist this so that, you know, it looks better, or it really doesn't look as bad as it is. You know, how can we act with integrity, which for sure Festus is not working with integrity right now.
One of the wonderful things about the Bible is that the Bible will, as it narrates these stories for our learning, we'll talk about the motives of the people involved. That's something that you and I can't do in real time because I don't know other people's motives. Sometimes they try to hide behind a noble motive, but their motive is anything but noble. And we don't know that. That would be evil surmising to try to guess. Only God knows the heart. But when the Bible records events, the Bible discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. So in this situation, the Bible is saying the motive of Festus was he was willing to show the Jews a pleasure. So when you begin saying, I want to sit in a judgment seat of impartiality, and yet my motive is I want to please one of the two parties in the case, there's no way I can be impartial.
There is no way. And it reminds me of that the whole Old Testament, time and time again, how God talks about justice and judgment and how that those who make decisions, those who adjudicate matters, have to work with the law and do it justly and not for any other purpose.
Recently, I taught just a 30,000-foot view of the book of Micah at our church. And one of the chief sins that Micah confronted in Judah was the fact that the rulers and even the religious leaders were not impartial. And they were using their respective positions for political gain and really for personal gain. And God indicted them through the prophet Micah. And honestly, that unjust behavior hastened their ultimate demise and destruction by Babylon.
You know, as you discuss this morning right now, Pastor, it reminds me in my life how that I have got to be a person that has justice and judgment, that I don't have ulterior motives as Festus does here, that I'm a person of integrity. And there is great power with being a person who simply follows the Holy Spirit and works with justice and judgment through the power of God.
Yeah, that's a convicting thought that sometimes we'll look at situations like this in the Bible and we'll say, yeah, that Festus. And yet we need to look inward and realize that sometimes our motives are less than stellar. And sometimes, and here's the, to me, this is the most dangerous part of it, John. Sometimes we don't even properly know our own motives. And I think that's where we go to Psalm 139, because God knows everything about us. He made us. He knows our DNA. I think that's where we go to God and say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. The Bible says in Jeremiah that the human heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Including yourself.
Yes.
But I, the Lord, I know the heart. I try the reins. So I think it's wise for us to go to the Lord and say, Lord, show me.
You know, that's what God wants us to do every day. God wants us to have that heart where, God, you know, I love you, and God, I want you to show yourself to me and show myself to me so I can know who I truly am in my relationship with you, that I might be right as I ought be.
And it goes back to what we said a moment ago, and that is the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joint and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, the Word of God doesn't just show us the external sins of our life. Okay, you lied, you cheated, you committed adultery, you murdered. Okay, but the Word of God, like that sharp two-edged sword, the context there in Hebrews 4 is of a priest who is, everything is naked and open unto him with whom we have to do. So a priest would open that animal for sacrifice and examine the animal. So that animal had to be without spot and blemish, but sometimes an animal externally was without spot and blemish, but then upon internal examination, they might have an internal disease. And so when that sharp sword cut open that animal, and now everything was naked and open, that high priest could see, is this animal without blemish on the inside and the outside? Well, the Bible says that's what the Word of God does for us. It's the sword that shows us who we are on the inside. You think about what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7, giving his own testimony of salvation. He said, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Isn't that interesting, John? Because all the other commandments deal with external observance. But the law that thou shalt not covet, that's a matter of the heart. Paul said that slew me. I couldn't escape that. I knew on the inside I was dirty and sinful and without sufficiency and needed salvation.
That is a striking thought that Paul makes in Romans 7. You know, Paul did a great job at obeying the outward parts of the law, but what a solemn reminder to us that Paul says, that thought thou shalt not covet, that hit home and convicted me.
So now Paul is put into this really awkward position, because to say, no, I don't want to go to Jerusalem is almost a tacit admission of why. Are you guilty? Are you afraid there's more information there? Are there some witnesses that couldn't physically make it to the trial that you're afraid will be there? I mean, there are all kinds of potentials here. And yet Paul, he smells a rat. He knows. He knows that that would just be a kangaroo court. There's a last thing he can do is go back to Jerusalem. So what do you do in a moment like this? And let's find out what Paul did. Okay, so look at verse 10. Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of those things whereof those accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Hey, Festus, no way. Okay, if I had done anything wrong against the Jews, I am willing to pay the death penalty for that, but I have not done anything wrong. And Festus, you and I both know that.
Yeah, I love how Paul, you know, he just puts it right where it is. He says, Festus, you know what the truth is. And so Paul does make this appeal, which is his right as a Roman citizen.
And it's the only way to go above Festus's head right here. He can argue, I don't want to go. He can argue, and Festus could just say as the governor, no, we're going to have the trial there. But by making an appeal to Caesar, what he does in essence is reminds Festus, wait a minute now. Remember, I'm a freeborn Roman citizen, and if you want to play these political games with the Jews, then you're going to do so at the risk of violating a very clear-cut Roman law against its own citizen.
It is a great reminder what Paul gives us here, how he uses his rights as a Roman citizen to help accomplish what God's called him to do.
The whole appellate process in the judicial system is such a great understanding of authority to me. So it's not that authority is never wrong. Authority is wrong. We're human beings. So whatever authority you have in your life, whether it be a teacher at the school, whether it be a civil leader, whether it be a police officer that pulled you over and got the wrong guy, whether it be a parent, whether it be a pastor, I think that authority is going to make mistakes. And I love the fact that there are always higher authorities. So the right way to deal with an authority that is not behaving in a way that you feel is right or biblical or just is to appeal to the higher authority. Sometimes that doesn't work in a practical way because that authority is stubborn or whatever, but we always can go in prayer to a higher authority and appeal to the Lord.
You know, I think in our life, sometimes the chain of authority you talk about is a great process in life. And I think sometimes when somebody goes above their head, it causes that authority figure to lash out at that individual. But, you know, if you're an individual, you're in a process where there's a chain of command. If somebody goes above your head because they don't like what you decided, you know, take that with humility. Don't get prideful and allow that to put you down and become angry at that individual.
And you will be as humble in that moment as you are committed to truth.
Yes.
So if you get offended, what you're saying is there's no way I could possibly be wrong. But if you're really committed to truth and you believe it to be the truth, then the appellate judge is going to see the truth And if for some reason you're not seeing it, don't you want somebody to bring another perspective on the situation? In other words, if it's not about you, if it's about the truth, then you're going to be fine with the appeal. So we're going to look at how Paul's appeal, how it unfolded, how this was something God used. But we'll have to talk about all of that next episode. Appreciate you, my friends, coming today, being a part of the podcast. Look forward to jumping in next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.